systems are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
Hello, Mr. Ken. I am phoning to tell you that you've won 10 million rand. All I need is your credit card number, please, and your 3-digit code.
I can literally see your profile. It's not going
to
work, mate.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, what a lame attempt. But anyway, got to try. How are you, Kane?
Good effort, though.
Thank you.
I'm very well, thanks to yourself. How are you, Mignon?
No, I'm good, man. How's your week? Lekker?
Yeah, no, you know, it's the beginning of the year. It's January. We got WhatsApp policies. We got, you know, Bitcoin going out off the flipping face of the earth. Oh, no, it's all over the place. Now Bitcoin's actually going in another direction. Oh, yeah. No, it's all over the place.
Yeah, and the latest development is WhatsApp sending us status updates. Everybody woke up yesterday and got this message saying, hello, from WhatsApp.
Yeah, that's a bit... what do you think about that?
I don't know. I was just like, what's all this green that I saw in my status little bar, you know, status box where all the statuses come? And I opened it and then there was this bloody slideshow, you know?
I wonder how long that's going to take to start having government messages there and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how easy they can show us ads. But, you know, this update was to assure people of its privacy update and that they are committed to user privacy. But in the meantime, people were actually freaking out about it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell the people that aren't using WhatsApp anymore that everything's okay by a status update.
Yes, I wonder if it was a good move. But anyway, we started with a spam call that failed miserably today. You are also probably getting a lot of spam calls. I see it's been increasing since lockdown last year already.
Yeah, no, I think that there's been a natural shift to, you know, more digital marketing, and I think with it comes an increase in budget for something like telemarketing. You know, if ever they were going to say, well, let's dust off this bad boy and give it a try, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be after the recent lockdowns.
Now, we haven't had any stats from last year, but the year before that, before the horror year, 2019, South Africa was ranked as having the 6th highest spam call rate in the world, with an average of 25.2 spam calls a month per user. How insane is that?
It is absolutely insane. And I think one of the major players in that being a case is, I think people buy and sell databases of numbers in South Africa a lot. I think that's a lucrative market. You know, someone comes to you at a conference or something like that and say, you know, I have this database of people, or we could sell your product to our database of this many subscribed SMS users. I think it's I don't appreciate it, but I think it also stems from people who sign up to things that they very much want, but, you know, might not be able to get, maybe something like a loan or something like that. And in the event, you know, that they've been turned down by the bank, then they start looking at other avenues and they start seeing the ads in their Skype and in their favorite publisher website. They start seeing these get a loan ads, and then you try it out, and one of the prerequisites is entering a number, and then there goes your number on a journey, you know, through a million different telemarketers.
Yeah, I think we must be more aware, you know, because we don't realize it. But, you know, how many times have we noticed that you give your number or you fill it in somewhere, and then all of a sudden, how convenient, all of a sudden you're getting all these spam calls in the days and weeks after that. It must be linked.
It has to be. It has to be. I mean, they can't. It's not just a giant registry of numbers. You know, it's got to come from somewhere, and it's got to stem from somewhere you gave your number once. And I actually have friends that take it very seriously. when they get, you know, contact and they'll go so far as to start, you know, cross-questioning the telemarketer, you know, where did you get my number?
Yeah.
You know, on what authority? And they tend to not call back sometimes after that. So I don't know how much of it is legal versus illegal, you know?
But, Kane, at least you can still talk to a human in those cases. Nowadays, you get robots calling you, and even Truecaller, an app like Truecaller that alerts you to these spam callers, will actually show on the screen robo caller or something like that, robo caller calling. So, you know, it is a machine calling you, and you can't even argue with that machine.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, have you ever called a call center? It's like, you know, if you need this, press 1. If you need this, press 2. There's no way to expedite that conversation. You can't just be like, wait, before you get to number 3, let me just say something quick. You know, you can't do that.
No, it doesn't work. I've tried it, believe me.
And then you get those, you know, those textbook hacks that they say, you know, if you're in a situation where you've got to press 1 to speak to this person or press 2, you just push hash the whole time and it just puts you straight on the line with someone.
Yes.
I've tried it, it doesn't work. I think it does somewhere, sometimes.
Yeah, because usually, yeah, that is a shortcut. Well, it used to be a shortcut, especially if you're phoning the cell phone network's customer care lines. I think 0. I think you always had to push 0. Doesn't matter what happens, you just push 0 all the time and then it rings eventually. I don't know if it's working anymore. Maybe they kind of discovered that we're doing that.
I'm sure that news must travel quicker. I mean, yeah. I remember, I think I've tried to push every number because I've been in that situation. Yeah. So it sounds like it's not working.
Yeah, it's usually it will say like push whatever and then it's quiet and it's waiting for your input, and then you just push any number, and then, you know, number that it didn't give you, 0 whatever or hash, and it says wrong entry, and then eventually putting you through to the nearest available consultant. And then you
I can hear the future telemarketer in you, Ian. You can make a whole center for the radio station.
Oh no. Oh no, man. Now listen, it's my new pet peeve, I must tell you. That's why I had to download Truecaller, because it was driving me up the wall. Not even my Samsung's built-in blocking spam calling device was good enough for it, because they just bypass it. You know, you block a number and then the next day or even the next hour they'll call you from another number and your phone will ring.
I think for those people who might not know what Truecaller is, you know, it's basically an application that you download, and it allows people to submit reports about the recent calls that they had, and they can, you know, assign an identity to it, and the application uses all sorts of different input and algorithms to determine, you know, who that person is that is using that number, what their majority of the time reported for. And the benefit to the user is you get called by a number which you wouldn't recognize normally, and Truecaller says, you know, hey, look, this is an MTN scammer, and you're like, hell no. But I've also had cases where, you know, I'm getting a call and I see, oh, I don't recognize the number, but then I see Truecaller has identified a person's name, and then I can say, oh wait, look, that's the agent I was speaking to for X, Y, and Z, let me answer that. So it can be quite beneficial to install such an application.
Have you got Truecaller on your phone specifically?
I do have Truecaller on my phone, and there has been times where I've definitely seen, you know, like MTN scammer, telecom, telemarketer, you know, IT communication salesman, and all sorts of different, you know, prompts to say that this is a scammer. And most of the time, you know, I kind of just let the phone ring.
Yeah.
So I'll answer it and I'll just say nothing. Because I'm not sure if it's true, but somewhere deep down inside, I feel like these guys write down what happens after each call. And I don't want to be the guy that tried to, you know, say goodbye to someone for a minute and a half. I want to be the guy that, you know, didn't say anything, but the call just was silent. You know, no one wants to call that. It must be a dead line.
Yes. How about some heavy breathing? That usually scares them off as well.
Just make it sound like you pocket answered it, you know, just like start hitting your phone on the pants, you know, sliding across the table, make it sound very busy, see what happens.
But you know what I like, Kane, about Truecaller is, like you said, it kind of shows you, like, the users give these numbers a name, and then you start seeing that name on your phone. But I've noticed that you need to be connected to the internet for that to work. Otherwise, Truecaller won't identify it. So you need to be online.
Really? Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed, because last time I wasn't connected to the internet, I switched off my Wi-Fi, and then Truecaller went all stupid and it didn't know who was calling.
I did not know that. Okay, so it needs an active, so there's not, obviously a database isn't downloaded to your phone, but when someone's calling you, it's checked.
It needs to check the net. Very interesting. But just I just wanted to quickly share my list with you of who recently called me on Truecaller. Okay, I've got MTN, Airtime Scam. This has nogal won an award for top scammer. Looks like they looks like they give away these awards as well. Then that scam. Then there's MTN Upgrade Sales. Okay, that could be real because I am a client. And then there's the P word in Afrikaans.
Oh, really?
So I was like, who the hell's phoning me?
It was not having that number calling them, and they were like, no, this guy's a douchebag.
I was shocked. And then there's also robot spam, and then there's also insurance and spam sales. And then even this one was very interesting that I received. When was this? That was last year. It literally said on the screen, Nigerian pretending to be from MTN. 421 spam reports.
There's investigators here answering phones. I need to take this. I need to update my Truecaller profile.
Yeah. This is so interesting. When we get back, I want us to talk about ways to deal with these people. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool. Take Thursday back after this.
Get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment radio on the go.
And we're back on Tech Thursday. It's Jan with you and joined by Kane, as always. And today we are talking about the very annoying thing called spam callers and how to deal with them. Right now, we are going to briefly touch on interesting, funny, creative ways how to deal with spam callers. Are you getting a spam call right there now, Kane?
Probably about a spam SMS. You know what I've noticed? Sometimes I get a spam call, and then right after I get the call, I get an SMS, and it's like, you know, you have to opt out with this and this and this. And I'm like, oh my word, they're active today. When you get an SMS right after not answering, they really want you, you know?
Yo, that is actually, that's quite an audacity there, man.
But I think there are some really, really good ways that you can, you know, obviously deter some of the spam calling, because on one aspect, a lot of it might be, you know, illegal, and some of it might stem from you accidentally giving your number somewhere that's inconsequentially been given to 5 or 10 other people. So by one mistake, you're garnering 10 calls of spam. So you might as well have fun with trying to figure out how to best deter them without having to, you know, read your rights out loud. And there can definitely be some fun ways. I mean, for one, I once used to answer a phone as if I'm calling them. So if you're getting a spam call, you just answer as if you're calling them. So you say, you know, listen, I wanted to speak to you today because I'm trying to figure out how to renew my TV license, and I have absolutely no idea how to do it, you know. And they completely throw it off, you know, and you just keep going on about that initial resolve that you need to get sorted.
Yeah,
I haven't been called twice by the same person like that, at least I don't think.
So that works, you know. I need some more creative ways, because a year or two ago I was involved in an argument with one of these spam callers. You would think they would at least be nice, you know, because they so intrusive, but they've actually got attitude.
Oh yeah, no, I can imagine that these people, I think they speak to a fair amount of people. So, you know, when they finally crack, I don't think it's any sound, you know, meltdown. And I've definitely had a few meltdowns on my side, because sometimes you know you can be the aggressive guy that's like, listen, I know my rights and I've never given you my number before in my life, and you try and play the legal avenue, and this guy just doesn't like that idea in the slightest. You know, now he's ready to just attack and he's rolling his sleeves up. At that point, you can't win. You better just try and get off the call, because it really does happen. I mean, this is South Africa. I mean, you got to remember that.
Yeah, well, imagine. No, man, I mean, we're so busy. We didn't have time to be in arguments with spam callers. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. But, I mean, you can always
play dumb.
Mm-hmm. Play dumb, yeah?
Just play dumb. So they'll try and sell you a product, and you just ask about the product again, you know, in a way that they have to re-explain almost word for word what they just said, and you just keep doing that, and just... eventually they just go, and you just hear doot, and it's done. They're moving on to the next one. You can't spend 5 minutes hounding someone down for a sale.
Yeah, or keep saying the same thing, you know, like, yes, yes.
Yeah, hello, she's speaking to Kane, and then they speak and she says, so it's Kane here. just keep going around in a circle.
Yeah, or pretend you can't hear them. I wonder if that would work.
Those don't normally work, but what you can do, which is usually quite entertaining, I used to play a game. It's a bit like chicken, but with a telemarketer. So you answer the phone and you say, yes, you know, how's it going? No, it's going well, thank you. What can I do for you? And you just say, no, listen, I'm listening. Just keep talking. Just explain to me. And you just put them down. And you just see how long they carry on talking for. I've had at least three people speak for longer than 10 minutes. And you just pick up the phone. You're like, oh, wow, they're really still talking.
And
you put it back down.
Do you just put it on speakerphone?
Yeah, you don't even have to put it on speaker. You just put your phone one side. You don't make any noises to acknowledge it. You just put your phone on the table one side. And the whole game is to see how long they talk for. So you look and you say, oh, it's been 5 minutes. And you check, oh, they're still there. They're still talking. You're like, 10 minutes? Ah, no, they're still talking.
Sure.
You know, that's how you can gamify the whole thing. Start giving yourself gold stars if you start breaking records. You know, that's how you start a whole TikTok channel and become social media famous.
Yes, but I mean, you've got experience on that, so you should know. Why? You should actually try something like that, Kane. I think you would be a hit with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that would be funny, eh? I mean, I remember I did some prank call stuff back in the day. My one friend actually borrowed me his camera for about 2 years when I was first getting started. So naturally, I decided to say thank you. I pranked him to say that I broke the camera.
Oh my gosh.
Surprisingly, he wasn't impressed, eh? But he didn't get too angry either. So no, he's a good friend.
Yeah, shame, man.
I think also on a serious note, you know, I think people... might suffer from, you know, getting really, really heavily spammed, and it can become an harassing kind of thing if you're getting a call, a spam call every, you know, hour to 2 hours, and you might be someone who's a real estate agent, or you might be someone that works in, you know, an IT store, and you just don't know who's going to call you next, so you end up, you know, speaking or answering the phone to spam callers. And if you're anywhere close to busy, you could lose customers. You know, it could set you off on a bad mindset. So then you're in a poor mood, a foul mood while you're speaking to potential prospects.
Shucks,
I think the biggest thing is, how do we go about opting out to these things? Because when you get an SMS and it's a spam, you can just opt out. You know, you send SMS stop to this number, and usually you can opt out. Or when someone calls you, a spam caller calls you, you could say, you know, please look, I'm not interested, opt me out of whatever I'm opted into. I don't want to receive any further phone calls, and you can see where that lies. But if it is really something that is, you know, making your life more difficult to live how you want to live, then the best thing you can do is you can actually take measures here in South Africa, and you can register with the DMASA, which is the Direct Marketing Association of South Africa, and you can basically opt out of a national database which has more than 250 members, which is basically a bunch of big companies in South Africa with big marketing budgets, and you can opt out of that list. And it's in those companies' best interests, you know, to comply with that requirement and abide by opt-out and anti-spam measures. And that is something that you can do to really bulk opt out. And it will take about 6 weeks for all of this to take effect. And I think the reason it could take up to 6 weeks is I think on a month-to-month basis, these companies are checking to make sure that they're compliant, because there has been a few stinks, you know, that hit the news in South Africa, which was directly associated to consumer protection and spam calls and things like that. So going through the registration process, it could take up to 6 weeks, but you should stop receiving calls and SMSs from these people.
So have you personally tried it, Kane?
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, if I go through my Truecaller, it actually, I hearing yours, I was quite alarmed, you know, because I might have a spam caller once every 3 days, maybe once every 10 days. You know, it really just depends. In December, I had a lot more, but maybe in November, it wasn't so bad. So, you know, it really varies. But would you say that you've directly noticed an increase in the amount of spam that you receive?
Absolutely. And the impact on my phone's battery is huge, you know. Can I sue?
Well, I can only wish, eh? I can only wish. You know what's concerning to me is, even if, say, you know, I get my Vodacom account and it gets messaged to me and they say, look, this amount of money is outstanding from your Vodacom account, and please make the payment to this bank address. You know, you can't even trust that SMS is coming from the right source if you're someone who's getting spammed with that. And it's so difficult to actually match that information with your account to what's happening in the SMS in a short amount of time. You know, you could easily make a mistake and pay 500 rand, 1,000 rand to the wrong account because you thought, oh, that's convenient. They're just telling me right here how much I owe. It's not that much. Send the money. So, yeah, it's best to try and get rid of as much of the potential spam that you're putting yourself in as possible. And that might be a good reason to opt out of the national registry.
Okay, so you'll give us the details, so you'll send it to me and I'll put it below the post and the podcast for this, what do you call it, association, so we can all unsubscribe, basically.
Yeah, take your name off, because at the end of the day, but one thing is, and there are people that might feel like a little bit hesitant towards doing that, because by going to the Direct Marketing Association of South Africa and, you know, opting out of that list, you're going to have to provide certain information, like, you know, cell phone number, full name and surname, ID number. Like, you're going to have to fully give your information so that they can correctly make sure that anything that matches that information isn't you're not contacted with anything matching that information. So a company would say, oh, look, this is all the information that we have on this person, and it matches the information that's on this, you know, non-compliance registry. We can't market to this person. So you do have to give a bit of information, and if you're not comfortable doing that, then of course there's not much you can do. But at the end of the day, it might be a good idea. And I think eventually spam calling and spam SMSing is going to become, one, much easier to handle, and two, much more, you know, of an illegal practice, because it's not like the ad that you see on your Facebook wall, which is just in between two pictures as you're scrolling down your feed, or it's completely different to your ad in your Gmail inbox, which is just another a message. You know, it's very invasive, and
absolutely.
I find it quite rude to think it's okay to have a robot call me and leave me telling it what I want by answering the phone.
Listen, Kane, are you aware that this robot actually leaves voice messages if you don't answer?
Really?
It talks to the other robot, which is your voicemail, and you can actually hear. So you've got this robot conversation going there, and then you can listen to it in your inbox, your mailbox, that number you dial.
How funny would that be? You check your voicemail, and it's like, you know, to get this in this service, press 2. And you're like, what the heck was that?
I've had that before. It's a pity I didn't save it. Otherwise, we could play it in now. But no, that actually happens. You know, it's so funny that it actually leaves a voice message if you don't answer. But just quickly, we mentioned Truecaller a lot during this show today. And Truecaller didn't pay for the exposure. They probably should. So hashtag call me. And then, apparently there are also other call blocking apps available for both Android and for iOS. That includes Who's Call, Show Caller, and Caller Smart. A lot of these services are free of charge, but they offer premium services as well. So if you want extra features, you're going to have to pay for it monthly.
Sounds quite interesting. It'd be nice to actually compare each of the services that these guys offer and then make a little infographic that people can follow. Maybe that's something we can do together and share with everyone on our socials.
Yes, I think that's a brilliant idea, Kane. Now, thank you. That's it for spam calling for today. We unfortunately have to cut it short now because I've got a spam caller calling me. No, I'm joking. We're going to... It is time is up, but Kane, what are we talking about next week? This is very interesting. It's like sci-tech
next
now.
Next week? Wow, Jana, this is going to be very interesting. So we're talking about something called Ingenuity, and it's not actually the thing you're thinking about. On the 18th of February, 2021, NASA's Perseverance rover lands on Mars. And it's carrying, and I'm going to pause for effect, a Mars helicopter. And I'm going to pause for effect again, that only weighs 1.8 kilograms.
It's like a little spider.
This is crazy. It started out 6 years ago as an implausible prospect. Engineers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California knew it was theoretically possible, and it's theoretically possible to fly in Mars's thin atmosphere. So the atmosphere in Mars is much thinner. So they've gone out, and in 6 years, they've made this a reality, and it lands. It lands real soon, and it's going to be flying. And the interesting thing is they've even done some test flights, because they had to have a proof of concept, of course. So there is some video of this little bad boy flying around, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because it is quite an advancement if you think about it. Because imagine human civilization as just land based and sail based, and then suddenly moving to air movability, you know, being able to fly through the skies and observe things that we never used to see before. It's taking a whole nother look at exploring Mars. How exciting.
Wow, very exciting. You know that song by David Bowie called Life on Mars actually comes to mind. Maybe we should play that song after next week's...
That's got to be the intro.
...edition. Yeah, we got to work it in somewhere. Absolutely. Life on Mars by David Bowie. Kane, that's very, very interesting. Listen, thank you so much, as always. Thanks for your time and your input. And I'm really looking forward to next week. That's going to be interesting. I'm going to let you do most of the talking next week because you're more clued up with that kind of sci-tech side.
And it's a biggie. So we might even turn it into two parts. Who knows? If people like it, we got a lot to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah, we had ghost stories a week or two ago, and that was so insanely popular. We had a reach of, 40K, I think. So maybe we should work ghost stories into technology as well, because people seem to like it.
There's some horror stories about AI talking to each other. Can you imagine that conversation and sitting on that?
Oh my word. No, that's so spooky. Just unplug it, please.
For another time, I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah, we must do that. Definitely. Kane, thank you so much as always. And till next week.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's always a good time. See you next week.